future is now.
And welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast.
15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name's Charles Story. I will be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the City of London Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. My name's Charles Story. I will be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the City of London Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Today's show is going to have a slightly different format. We're going to take an extract or a couple of extracts from the Crypto Investor Show that took place 2 weeks ago here in the City of London. That was run by Patrick Dooley and the rest of the Crypto Show team. So big thanks and big shout out to those guys for executing a great event. Also want to say a special thank you to Fiona, who was the wonderful panel host. She did an amazing job. So I understand with a podcast, it's slightly tricky with a panel discussion. So I'm going to try and explain who the speakers are by describing their voice, and hopefully that will help you understand when they speak and who they are when they speak instead of just lots of random voices. So from Zencash, we've got Rowan, and he's the lovely Scottish guy, so you can definitely know and recognize the sound of his voice. From NKB, we have a lovely lady called Marina. And from eToro, you've got Matthew Newton, who is a lovely Irish guy, and you can definitely recognize his voice as well. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of color. I also want to apologize for the audio quality due to the fact that this was something that was done internally at the event space. So I am aware there's a few small things in production, but I think overall,
Great. Thank you very much for coming back. I hope you've had a nice drink. We're going to be talking lots of things about investment and about adoption over the next 20 minutes. So we have a great team to answer those questions. I'm going to bring up first Charles Story, who's Head of Strategic Partnerships at SVK Crypto.
Thank you.
And next up, we've got Matthew Newton, who's an account manager at eToro, specializing in high net worth investors. And then Marina Titova, head of ICO advisory at NKB Group. And finally, Rowan Stone, who's director of business development at Zencash. I'm Fiona Cooper. I'm helping Patrick and the rest of the team manage speakers and exhibitors at the shows we've got coming up, and I'm sure we'll tell you a bit about those in a bit. So we've got a number of questions to ask, and we're going to start off talking about crypto adoption. And Matthew, I know that recently in a paper with Imperial College, you started talking about Bitcoin replacing fiat within a decade. So I'm quite excited about that. I think all of us as investors should be too. So what do you think it's going to take for that to actually happen?
Okay, well, just to put a little bit of context behind the research, at the beginning of the year when things started to die down a little bit, we wanted to understand the people who were investing in crypto. And just over the last year, we found that people really didn't know an awful lot about cryptocurrency. So the difference between a cryptocurrency or crypto commodity, you know, breaking down crypto assets. It was more just dive in on speculation and learn later. So there was a lot of concepts that people didn't really understand. So we wanted to get a bit of research out there where people could understand what crypto actually was, to define a token or what Bitcoin is or distributed ledger technology. And then also look at the challenges that something like Bitcoin has ahead of it to be adopted. So we focused on things like scalability, regulation, privacy, incentives, adoption, and these were the challenges that crypto has to overcome. So ultimately, the type of things that that we need to focus on is the the three functions of money that it really three functions of money that really exist. So medium of exchange, unit of account, and the store of value. And we feel that it is already fulfilling the purpose of store of value, but it has to overcome the other two. So things like adoption are going to be by merchants and users is going to be the key fact for that in the emergence of the technology.
So this is really key for eToro, obviously, as an exchange. You want more and more people to become involved. So are you working in any way with merchants to work out how they can best adopt cryptocurrencies in their businesses?
We're not working with it specifically. I mean, we've obviously championed cryptocurrencies. We're a regulated broker with a favourable view of cryptocurrencies, and we've been in it for a long time. But what we want to try and do is do our bit to really help educate people in learning about it, because ultimately money, you know, from the very beginnings has been an evolutionary step from the barter economy to where we are now. It's gone from, you know, money obviously being a commodity that people can use to exchange goods, and people don't really understand what money is. So it was a case of really trying to determine and define what money is, and to look at the steps that it needs to overcome for this next evolution of money to really become adopted by the mainstream.
Are there any other of the panel who can comment on what we can do to enhance adoption and really get cryptocurrencies being used more in our daily lives?
Yeah, you need a stable coin. Bitcoin itself probably won't be the transactional crypto that we'll see. It will be a stable token such as Haven. There's a few others out there, something that people can trust that doesn't have the volatility of the crypto space. Because if you were a merchant and someone bought a coffee from you for $2, next day it's worth $4. And you're going to be pretty upset that you paid $4 for a coffee that was worth $2. You need a stable coin, something that doesn't have volatility within, something people can trust, and that's something that can be accepted by merchants and consumers at the end of the day.
Another aspect of that is obviously an ecosystem that is easy to use. So it was one of the functions or one of the areas of adoption that we focused on. You know, right now it's a lot of technical jargon, and each year it's a lot easier for people to get into crypto, but still we have a long way to go. So if you look at something like Dash, they ultimately want to build a PayPal easy platform that people can exchange crypto. So apart from the volatility side of things, we also need a back end that people can use and really exchange easily. And I think that's also going to be a big part of the adoption.
You have to think about it as well. Everyone has a mobile phone and everyone uses mobile banking, and you're pretty close to the adoption being there already, right? With a wallet. But it just needs to be accessible, and it needs to be easy enough for my grandmother to be able to send me Bitcoin or to send me a stable token for me to transact with. And that's what needs to occur, and we're pretty close to getting to that level.
Completely agree with that, absolutely. I think the two main focuses from our side for this year is definitely usability and utility.
Yeah.
At the moment, I mean, the phrase that I keep using, that we keep using, is bringing crypto from the geeks to the masses.
Yeah.
Because it is way too complicated, completely agree. But there's also the lack of real utility. We need to create something that people actually want to use, rather than just having a kind of speculatory asset that somebody wants to hold. So usability and utility is kind of the main two focuses for us to try and tackle adoption.
And link with that, I guess, is also from institutional investor perspective, is custody of funds. And that has still not been really properly solved for crypto. It's still an issue for institutional investors, and that's also part of...
So can you explain a little bit what you mean by custody of funds?
Yes, so because, in fact, with crypto, you have to worry about private keys, how you store it, and things like that, right?
Private keys and all this kind of thing, which is... Again, what we're saying, a real usability issue for individuals on the street who might want to think about using crypto for actual transactions, then the fact that you have to have private keys and all the rest of it is somewhat bamboozling to most people, because that's not what they're used to dealing with. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. Fair comment.
Even just the address. I mean, human-readable addresses would make a huge difference to how somebody perceives crypto. Yeah. It doesn't change the actual technical skill required to execute, but when you open a wallet, the first thing you're confronted with as a kind of person that's not in the crypto space is 30 addresses that just look like complete gobbledygook. You're immediately going to go, oh, too complex, and just put it down. So we need to kind of create nice, simple, sleek applications that are easy to grasp. And like you say, you can give it to your grandma or your next door neighbor and they can immediately go, right, I can send one Bitcoin or two Bitcoin, and it's nice and simple.
In a previous life, I was a usability expert, and I just cringe at the state of crypto at the moment. So,
you can go back, as I think Shane was saying earlier.
Go back, you know, 6 months even, it's come on. So, you know, things are vastly improving, and hopefully they'll improve at that exponential rate that they have done in the past 6 months, and we'll see something amazing by this time next year.
That's the job of the developers, ultimately.
Comes
down to the incentive side of things, too.
Really start looking at usability, because it's a major factor in adoption. My next question is kind of related to that, actually. It's for Rowan. Zencash has recently joined together with IOHK for the purposes of research, so I'd like you to tell me a little bit about that. But I also noticed that IOHK has a major objective of getting the 3 billion people who don't have access to financial institutions into the financial system. And is that, as a sector, fundamental for crypto adoption, or are they driving it?
They're certainly trying. I think everybody has a piece to play in that. For the IOHK partnership, we've already talked about the kind of adoption problems. So from our perspective, we perceive it as utility and usability. From the technology side, though, we've got two pretty glaring holes, if you like. We have scaling. Bitcoin now is at a point where it's kind of creaking at the seams, and whenever anything big happens, it starts to fumble. And we've had the long-standing argument of how to tackle that problem. So scaling is problem number one, and governance is problem two. So that's what IOHK have been targeted with going and researching. They've got a paper out already on the kind of what we're coining our next-generation voting system. So it's an incentivized voting system that requires some skin in the game in the Zencash ecosystem to participate. And the kind of aim there is to ensure that we are censorship resistant. So having just a single team as a single point of failure, we want to remove ourselves from being a single point of failure and kind of open up some of the really important decisions to the community.
That sounds pretty cool. And as far as sort of third world adoption and that kind of thing goes, is that something that IOHK are working on? And what's your view on, is Zen being adopted as globally as you would like?
It's early days. So we're around about a year old. We currently have a team of 54 people. We recently professionalized, so split into distinct divisions. And our kind of business development division, if you like, is really well distributed. So we're trying to put boots on the ground in every region all around the world. Primarily because it's silly for me sitting up in Scotland to try and do business development in Russia or in Latin America or in China. So we put boots on the ground in every locality. They're the specialists in their own markets, and we try and drive adoption that way. Specifically in kind of the unbanked, we're just about to make a bit of a push into India, which is a really important market for that problem, and we're already making tracks in Africa. So that's the kind of two places that we're working actively.
Fantastic. And I'm seeing some major developments in the zone of sort of third world development as well within the blockchain, which is a really interesting area. Charles, I know that SVK is obviously huge in London, doing massive things to promote the community and bring the community together. And you're doing your podcast daily, which is really exciting, and you know, communicating major news to everybody as it comes up, which is great. But I know that you also, as SVK, you travel the world and you see lots of different things happening, and I'm wondering if there are any things that you're seeing in other places that would be interesting to bring back here.
I mean, it's an interesting question. With the job, we have the luxury of traveling all over the world, Asia, the States, Europe. I think London itself is the most engaged community that we have ever come across. We're very passionate
about
our, we're passionate about our community here in London, and I think the questions that are asked at all of our events are way further ahead than other places.
Wow.
I think Asia's got a pretty interesting community, and I think they're pretty developed, but the UK itself, being a financial hub, you have a lot of smart people here who really understand the aspects of opportunity, and I think they really understand, the smart ones, what's going on here. I know a lot of people from the city who have converted over to this space. Not officially, unofficially.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are very engaged with what's going on here in London.
I want to say a big thank you to everyone at the Crypto Investors Show. And I also want to thank all the panelists. Hopefully you found some value out of the panel. And of course, enjoyed the show. Listen, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention. And remember, as always, to check us out on all our social platforms. Telegram, SVK Space Crowd. YouTube, www.youtube.com/SVK Crypto. And of course, Twitter at SVK_Crypto. That's a wrap. I got to bounce. Have a great day.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at SVK_Crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.